please bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we thank you that you've gathered us here this Sunday after Easter. As we hear the doubt of Thomas, but yet you're allowing him to see the evidence. As we hear John and Luke in the book of Acts talk about the difference the resurrection has made, speak to us this morning. Take these words and thoughts of mine, use them to speak to us. Take our ears and find it too. In the midst of all that I say, Jesus, it's your word we hear. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I needed a haircut. My brother told me where he was getting his haircut in the local shopping mall. And so I went and I asked for Cindy, as he's had Cindy cutting his hair, and he was pleased with the way she cut it. And I'll never forget Cindy. Beautiful young woman, but that's not why I remember her. It's really what happened after, as we, over the years. But she was a beautiful young woman, very talkative, and we chatted and went back and forth, and some personal conversation, so I got to know that she was really on the outside of church. One thing led to another. Not only my brother and myself, but my mother and some other people from our church ended up going to Cindy. And one of the folks, who's now actually moved here to Dallas, went to Cindy and had a little more in-depth conversation. She was living with her boyfriend. Walked away from the church years ago. And this friend said, "But you know, you need to get back with the Lord." She began to cry there as she was cutting this woman's hair. And she said, "But I'm living with a man and I know it's not right. But I can't dare leave him because I'm afraid what he'll do to me." And she said, "Let's go to your place, get your stuff. Is he home?" "No." "And you can come live with me." We watched Cindy as she came to church with this family, week after week, and this physical, spiritual, emotional transformation. She became a woman that she wasn't before. There was a softness, there was a vitality, a joy, a peace. She became a good friend of the family. Mom still actually goes to her years later. God's transforming power. When you see it in the life of somebody, you never forget it. It's captivating to watch him transform someone. The church in Pittsburgh, we had our buildings were very used by 12-step groups, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and other 12-step groups. You know, sometimes that gets to be when, as the scouts here, we love the scouts, but gosh, moving them around and making sure everything's back in place. Sometimes it's an aggravation. And at times you get very aggravated at the AA groups because we wanted something in the same spot where they... But gosh, I appreciate them in a different way after I met Carolyn. One of our young adults, a drug addict, was actually attending the AA group at the basement of the church. In the Northeast, we have basements. And she said to one of the other ladies in the group, "Have you ever gone upstairs?" She said, "Well, I've been to the upstairs part of this church." She said, "No, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, have you ever gone upstairs to church here?" She said, "No, I haven't." She said, "Well, I go to church here." She said, "Why don't you come next Sunday with me?" She said, "I haven't been to church for years." But she said, "As I'm on this pathway of recovery," she said, "I realize God wants me back in church. Sure, I'll come next week." Carolyn brought Caroline, and the two came to church. And the transformation of this young woman to see Carolyn transformed in the way that she was transformed. And now married a youth minister, following the Lord and still in communication to this day. The transformation of lives. When you see it, you never forget it. And that's what God can do. Last week, glorious Easter Sunday, I started off with a couple of stories about Sunday school teachers asking what the meaning of Easter was. I hope you didn't forget them. I didn't. The first one was, the little boy said, what Easter's all about is 2 weeks of egg salad sandwiches. And another teacher said, what's Easter all about? And the kid started off great and said, well, Jesus comes out of the tomb and she's excited. And the little girl says, and he looked back to see if he could see his shadow to predict the, whether how much winter was left. We know it's not about all of that stuff, but it's about the resurrection of Jesus and the hope that it brings. But one of my points last week is, but what difference does it make in our daily life? It is an historical event that we're celebrating. But has it changed our lives? Has it made a difference? And I told the story of Bill and Gloria Gaither. And how in the 1960s, she was expecting a child and she was very troubled. Bill's health wasn't great. These are Christian artists that have written many, many songs, continue to write many songs. And their music was criticized, it wasn't spiritual enough. And they were at a crisis point, and New Year's Eve, she's asking the Lord, how can I bring a baby into this world? And he said, don't forget the empty tomb. Don't forget the empty tomb. And as she pondered on what he was saying, she realized it was about hope. That she could bring a baby into the world because of the hope of the resurrection. And it was out of that she wrote the song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, All Fear Is Gone. Because I Know He Holds a Future. Life is worth the living just because He lives. See, the resurrection made a difference in the life of Gloria. The resurrection of Jesus made a difference in the life of Carolyn. The resurrection made a difference in the life of Cindy. More than a historical event. When Jesus walked out of the grave, it changed the world forever and has the potential to change us forever. Listen again to those two readings our gentleman read for us this morning. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we've seen it and we testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare it to you what we've seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things that your joy may be complete. This message we've heard from Him and proclaim it to you, that God is light and in Him there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while walking in the darkness, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, If we say we have fellowship with Him while we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not know what is true. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. What I hear John saying to the group of Christians he writes this to is, I expect a difference. It's interesting, the first part of those verses, he's talking about the way in which we can continually come back and receive cleansing. Him realizing we're going to stumble. But yet, that line, my little children, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. Because he sees a potential of what the resurrection power, what resurrected Jesus from the dead, can do in the life of a follower of Jesus. No, we're not sinless, but he's transforming us more and more into his likeness. And when we do fall and stumble, here's the way to be re-cleansed. But God is doing something in us. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the whole group of those believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possession. But everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. Now, you have to back up. That's Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Because it tells us there in that opening verse, now the whole group, what's the size of the group? It's more than 12. Because if you back up to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the very first sermon on Pentecost, Peter stands and preaches. And the text tells us that the people said, what can we do? Believe and be baptized, and you too will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the end of that text, verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, said, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls. Go back to our text for this morning, for chapter 4, verse 32. Now the whole group were those who believed. That's not 12, that's thousands. Thousands of people are following the resurrected Jesus and are considering themselves disciples. And this is referring to them. I don't know about you, but I find it a miracle that thousands of people can agree on anything. Am I not right? That's God. That's God. That's just extraordinary. And as I say that, I just get sort of this wash of goosebumps. The power of God. See, when Jesus got up out of the grave, the power that resurrected him from the grave, the Spirit of the living God, is available to us and changed the lives of the disciples. My question for you this morning, has that resurrection power changed you? Are you different in some way than you were before you began to follow? And do you see yourselves becoming more and more Christ-like? That's his intent. Oh, as John says, you'll stumble, and here's the way to take care of that, that you can get cleansed. But his point was, we should be coming more and more in the image of Jesus. So how are they so greatly changed? When you look at the world today of Christians, we don't see a lot of difference between the morality and the lifestyle of Christians and non-Christians. I think it goes back to that passage in Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and following. The lifestyle of the early followers. And those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, scripture, fellowship, sharing our hearts with one another, breaking of bread, and prayer. That was the lifestyle of that beginning group of folks. There wasn't anything that was going to remove from their daily diet, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. And it says in verse 43, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. See, it was the lifestyle of those early followers that allowed the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, to make a difference in their life. It allowed it to penetrate. It became more than something they knew and celebrated, to something that became part of who they were. They allowed the Spirit of the living God that resurrected Jesus from the dead to fully penetrate all of their being as they studied Scripture, shared their heart with one another, had communion together, and shared prayers. It's the lifestyle of those early disciples that helped to make such a big difference in the lives of the early followers. Cindy, Carolyn, Bill and Gloria Gaither. Four people transformed by the resurrection. What about me? What about you? If you allowed it to penetrate your soul, for really to grip you, what he's done for you, for the power of God that raised him from the dead to fill you and saturate you, that it transforms you, and that you're becoming more and more like Jesus. The way it's going to penetrate is to have that lifestyle, devoting yourselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. Let's be about that. Let's make sure that that's what's on our regular diet. In today's world, we have so many resources available to us. We have no excuse. Let's get to it. That we'd see that resurrection power transforming us as individuals and as a community. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for not only raising Jesus from the dead, but making available to us the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Father, that you don't leave us where we are, but you cleanse us from our sin. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, you transform us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. Oh, Father, remove from me, remove from us the obstacles that would keep us from that transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.